Psalm 34. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. God bless this portion of his word to us. God our Father, we bow before you, and even as we do, we are at the foot of the cross where burdens are lifted. And we come today to the foot of the cross to lay our burdens down at the feet of Jesus, the one who is our great burden bearer. You know every person who is listening. You know every need that they have. You know all who are ill and stand in need of a touch of the great physician's hand, and we commit them to you. You know every struggle, every care, every concern, and we pray to that to every person that Jesus will draw very near, for he is watching over us. This is his promise, and he is doing it. And we know that we can safely put ourselves in his almighty hand, under whose wings we have found shelter. We pray today again for our government leaders and our medical professionals and all who have serious decisions to make, and for all who work in vulnerable places, as well as for those who volunteer and fill in the gap where others need them. We lift them to you and pray that you would strengthen them and give them wisdom and enable them. We also pray today for a quick end to this crisis, even as we acknowledge that you are at work and we rest in that knowledge. Help us to see your hand of mercy and goodness in these times. And now, Lord, as we open your word, it is precious to us. It is your inspired word to us. And through your word, you bring to us comfort and instruction as we surrender ourselves to the refiner's fire. Purify our hearts, Lord, and captivate us by the very person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ to him. Help us to surrender hearts and minds and all that we are to the one who is worthy, because he is the Lamb who was slain, and he is the one who is our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and it is in his name that we pray. Amen. God is good. And I imagine you are saying back, all the time, okay? And all the time, and you are saying, God is good. Do you believe that? Romans 8:28 reads, "And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Do you believe that verse? Do you believe that God is good all the time? Do you believe that God works for the good of those who love him in all things, just as the scripture tells us? If that is true, and it is, that God is good all the time, and it is true that God works for the good of those who love him, if that is true, then hear what I say. Whatever is happening in your life right now, God is at work and can and will use the circumstances that you are facing for your good, whatever that may be. Whatever is happening in the world right now, COVID included, God is at work for the good of those who love him. One man that I read about discovered something good in the COVID situation, he should consider it good. He should consider it a benefit to him in this pandemic, because on the second day of after the sports shutdown happened, he writes this: "I found a lady sitting on my couch yesterday. Apparently, she's my wife." Yes, the enemy is at work in our world. But here's the truth of the matter. God is greater, and God will accomplish his purposes and work this for good to those who love him. The title of the message this morning is God Always Has a Plan. God is never caught off guard or caught by surprise at the circumstances that occur in our lives or the unexpected things that arise. He knows the future. He knows our future. And because he lives, we can face all of the tomorrows that God will give to us. The child of God is in the hollow of his hand. Whatever may come in the course of life, we can rest secure in the knowledge that we're in the hollow of his hand and that he has promised to be with us and to see us safely through. Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. All. Even in the trials and difficulties that come in the course of life, even in this pandemic crisis, God is at work and God has a plan. We know that he does. You know that he does because we have seen him at work in the past and we see him at work in the present. And we know by faith, as we remain faithful to him, he will continue to unfold his good purposes. What we are facing in this time of crisis is strange to us, but it is not strange to God. So here's the deal. Claim his promise and know that God is sovereign, that he is at work, and that he has a plan. For my wife and I, right now, our TV times consist mainly of MASH at noon and Hogan's Heroes at night, thanks to PVR and having them all pre-recorded, because we like comic relief, because all the rest of everything seems way too serious at this time. But my all-time favorite sitcom, I wish would be brought back, and you may have already guessed, is Get Smart. Maxwell Smart, Secret Agent 86. And I remember one time when my wife and I were engaged, someone gave me a t-shirt that said right across the front of it, "I'm 86." And I showed up at her place, and Joan's mother took one look, and she read what was on my t-shirt. She looked at me, she says, "Oh, I'm sorry you're that old." Often in the sitcoms, Get Smart, the chief would lay out the plan, and then he would ask Max if he understood the plan. And Max would invariably say, "Yes, chief, I got it all, except one small part." "What part is that, Max?" "Yes, well, the part right after, now here's the plan." Do you ever feel like that when you're trying to sort out God's plan in your own life and situation? I'm sure you do. You will never know all the details of God's plan. Don't even try. All you really need to know is this, that God loves you, he cares for you, and as you follow him, he will show you his path and unfold it one step at a time. He shows you the next step, not the next mile. And when he shows you the next step, he asks you to take that step by faith, knowing that he is watching over you, knowing that he cares. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11 reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." So rest in this knowledge. Rest in the knowledge that God is good, that never changes. That he loves you, that never changes. That he has your good in his heart, that never changes. If you love him, that can change. Don't let it. And desire to follow him, he will show you the way one step at a time. That never changes either. That's his promise. The story of Ruth is a wonderful story. It's very instructive to us in this subject. And I want to commit to you the reading of the story. It's in its entirety. It won't even take you a cup of coffee to get all the way through the book of Ruth in one sitting. That's really the recommended methodology for reading the books of the Bible, is to read, well, not, you can't read Psalms in one sitting, but in books that are a story, like the book of Ruth or Judges, etc., read them in one sitting. Some of them will take you several cups of coffee, but that's okay. It's worth it. All I want to do at this time is touch on the highlights. It was in the days before Judah had kings. In that day, the land was ruled by judges, and along came a famine in the land, and a family decided to, well, take matters into their own hands, and they picked up from their home in Bethlehem, and they moved to a foreign country called Moab. The family's name, the husband was Elimelech, along with his wife Naomi, and their two sons. While in Moab, the two sons married Moabite women, Orpah and Ruth, and that was considered something they should not do. Within the 10-year period that they were in Moab, Naomi's husband died, and then her two sons died as well, leaving Naomi all alone. With no future, no life insurance to cash in, no pension plan, she was too old to marry. But in the midst of all of this tragedy, God is at work. And in her extremity, Naomi decided to go home, back to Bethlehem, urging her daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth, to stay in Moab and find new husbands. Orpah took her advice and stayed. But Ruth had a heart for God. Ruth was about to set out on a whole new life and set out on the adventure of discovering God and who He was, leaving her family behind. And so she implored her mother-in-law, Ruth chapter 1, verse 16, "Do not urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me." There are a number of things, seven things, I just quickly want to point out in this passage, that things that God wants to teach us about discovering His plan in our lives. Here's the first one. God begins to unfold His plan to us when we seek Him. God begins to unfold His plan when we seek Him. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you." That's His promise. I will be found by you when you seek me. The second thing is that I note in this story is that God accepts all who seek Him. All who seek Him. See, Ruth was from a nation that did not know God. They worshiped false gods. But God looked beyond her past. He looks beyond our past. He cares about our present, and He cares about our future. And when we truly seek Him, He accepts us on the basis of Christ's work on the cross, and He forgives our past, He forgives our sins, and He redeems us and moves us on to a brighter future, regardless of who we are, regardless of where we've been or what we have done. Naomi and Ruth, they came to Bethlehem, and when they arrived, it created quite a buzz in town. The women were all whispering, "Is this Naomi?" In other words, kind of what they were really saying was, "My, how she is aged. Look at Naomi." Naomi retorts that they are to call her Mara, meaning bitter, because of the way the Lord has dealt with her. She was blaming God. The third thing I want to point out that we learn from this passage is that we cannot blame God for our troubles. Even as Naomi is bitter against God for her troubles, he is unfolding a plan that in her poverty of resources and her poverty of soul, she can't even begin to imagine. The social program in that day to feed the hungry was that workers in the field harvesting the grain would intentionally leave grain behind, and those in need would come and glean and gather what had been left behind and put it in their own storehouse. It was a work for your food program. It was hand up with dignity rather than hand out. Ruth went out to find food, and she was gleaning in the fields of a man named Boaz, a good man. The fourth thing I want to point out is that God engineers the, quote, happenings in our lives. He does this to direct us into his plan. It was no accident that Ruth was gleaning in Boaz's field. She just happened to be there, right? Humanly speaking. But it wasn't chance that brought Ruth to Boaz's field. It was divine providence. Many of the things, folks, that we glibly call chance in our lives is not chance at all. It is the God of heaven at work, seeking to fulfill his good plan in our lives. This chance something of Ruth's gleaning in Boaz's field was something that had been engineered by God. It was a hand of providence at work, as it is so often in our own lives. God was preparing Boaz, who happened to see Ruth. Boaz took note of Ruth, and he asked questions about this worker who had appeared in his field. And he found out that she was the Moabite woman that he would have heard about, who had come to Bethlehem with his relative, Elimelech's widow. And he asked questions. And he found out that Ruth was a hard worker and that she was trying to support herself and Naomi. Boaz was interested. God was putting this interest into his heart. Because of this, Boaz made provision for Ruth. So he went out to the field. And I pick up the reading, Ruth chapter 2, verse 8. So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in other fields and don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch the fields where the men are harvesting and follow along after the girls. I have told the men not to touch you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She exclaimed, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Boaz made provision for Ruth. He made provision for food and for water. He made provision for protection. And this is a picture of God's grace giving freely to meet our own needs. And in wonderment, Ruth asks, "Why have you noticed me? I am a foreigner." And the only answer to that is grace. And it's a picture of the grace of God. Because all that God has done for you and all that he has done for me is because of his grace. We cannot earn it or deserve it. He turns his attention toward us with love and compassion and grace, giving freely to all who come to him in faith. The fifth thing I want to point out that we learn from this passage is that God makes provision for our need too. See, the hand of God will never lead you where his grace cannot sustain you. One of my favorite songs that comes out of my youth is a Bill Gaither song. Words are, "Since I started for the kingdom, since my life he controls, since I gave my heart to Jesus, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Every need his hand supplying, plenteous grace he bestows, Every day my way gets brighter. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more that I love him, more love he bestows. Each day is like heaven. My heart overflows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. And that's never been more true, folks. God makes provision for our need. God, through Boaz, provided for Ruth and for Naomi. And he provided more than what we have spoken of already. He provided for their greatest need, that of a kinsman redeemer. In that day, when a person had overwhelming debt and was about to lose the family property, or when a man died and his heritage could not continue because of having no children, namely a son, a close relative could act as a kinsman redeemer. And the one who agreed to be the kinsman redeemer purchased the land in order to clear the debts, but kept the land in the relative's name. And in the situation of his relative's death, he would also be obligated to marry the dead relative's widow in order for his dead relative's name to carry on through the children born to that union. In the story of Ruth, both of these situations were at hand: overwhelming debt and the death of the landowner. Naomi was too old to remarry, so it became Naomi's daughter-in-law, Ruth, the one that the kinsman redeemer would take as wife. But she was a Moabite and a foreigner, and she came along with the deal. There was one other kinsman redeemer in between Boaz and the dead relative, and when he learned that Ruth was part of the deal, he backed out of being the kinsman redeemer. But when Naomi discovered whose field Ruth was gleaning grain from, she recognized Boaz as one who could act as her kinsman redeemer. If he would agree to become their kinsman redeemer, then her future and her inheritance would be secured. So she explained to Ruth what to do. Now, you need to go to the book of Ruth, and you need to read particularly chapter 3. Read the whole story. But in chapter 3, there is a certain amount of intrigue in how Naomi is preparing Ruth for what she is about to do. I will leave it to you to go and read the story, but please read it with a sanctified imagination. Not a Harlequin imagination, but a sanctified one. And enjoy that story and imagine what might have been happening. Boaz readily agreed to become the kinsman redeemer, and through the process did become the kinsman redeemer. And his actions provide us with a foreshadow, if you will, or a picture of a redeemer who is yet to come, our kinsman redeemer, Jesus Christ. The one who did come, he came into this world, he became one of us, and he went to the cross, and he died on the cross to purchase our debt and to secure our inheritance in heaven and to redeem us. Do you think Ruth loved Boaz and had a passion to serve him for all that he had done for her? Of course. One can't even imagine the depths of gratitude that must have overflowed from her heart. But here's the point I want to make from this: that God fulfills his plan when he is our passion. All God asks is that we love him and put him first. What is the greatest commandment? Jesus, when asked that question, answered, "To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Do you? And then he said, "And to love your neighbor as yourself." Do you? These are tough questions. And then Jesus concluded with this statement: "All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." God fulfills his plan when he is our passion, when we love him, when we put him first, and when we express our love to him by loving our neighbor as ourselves. And then the concluding point that I want to make at this time from this story is that God's plan is never ordinary, folks. Never ordinary. Ruth the foreigner became the great grandmother of King David, and she figures in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. When Jesus says, whosoever will may come, he means whosoever. From every tribe and nation, without distinction or prejudice, all who will may come, regardless of background, what they may be, what they may not have done, what they may have done, all who by simple faith come before him and bow the heart and the knee to him may come. And he has promised to receive and to forgive and to cleanse and to make them his child. Folks, God always has a plan. Let him be your passion. Love God. Trust him. Follow him. And let him do the extraordinary thing in your life. He will if you let him. And he will put a song in your heart. Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his face upon you and give you peace. Amen and amen.